name is Renee with Vaccine Information Coalition, and you're listening to Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. This is our weekly radio show, which is on every Monday at 2 p.m., and this is our fourth show. You may access our What in the Cell is Going On previous shows by visiting our website, vacinfo.org, or by calling 701-801-8536. Today we are acknowledging a memorial to our military, who are guinea pigs for experimental vaccines, and all of the injured victims, including the children with a label of autism and many other vaccine injuries. I'm a co-host with my husband, Gary Tunsky. He is the author of the CD and book titled The Battle for Health is Over, PH, and currently has his CD titled What in the Cell is Going On. Gary is very anointed to explain the damage vaccines cause to our cells and the simplicity of our body's innate ability to heal on its own. This is a continuation from our second show, and Gary, thank you for sharing your wisdom.
Thank you, Renee. Good afternoon and welcome to part two of the What in the Cell is Going On. And as you know, that title is an emphasis on the cell. And what I wanted to do this episode is continue with what really is causing these cells to malfunction. Now, 2 weeks ago, we talked and covered a lot of ground on the difference between what academia is training, Harvard, Baylor, Stanford, Loma Linda, universities all over the world, that there's 40,000 different diseases demanding 40,000 different treatments, demanding 40,000 different procedures. Or I want to give you another perspective. Instead of it being 40,000 different diseases, as we explained 2 weeks ago, there's only one disease condition from head to toe, but the cell malfunctions are the one disease. Instead of being 40,000 different diseases, like arthritis being different than diabetes, being different than autoimmune, being different than heart disease, being different than cancer, being different than Parkinson's, they're all the same. But the difference is the cellular malfunctions are different. For example, we went over this 2 weeks ago. If you have a diabetic situation, it's not diabetes mellitus type 1 or type 2. It's a cell malfunction to the beta cells. So it's a beta cell malfunction is the real disease, and the diabetes is the label of the symptom of high blood sugar. If you have a cell malfunction of the parietal cells in the stomach, you're going to hear the word GERD or acid reflux. Now, to me, it's a parietal cell malfunction giving off that symptom of the GERD or the acid reflux, that burning sensation in the esophagus. So they're looking at diseases and labels as being the disease, but it's not. It's just a description of the symptoms given off by the cellular malfunction. So whatever the cell is screaming, the cells scream headache, bloating, dizziness, inflammation, pain, vertigo, whatever the cell is, gives a correlating symptom or sets of symptoms screaming and telling you where the cells are malfunctioned. Now, what I want to do today is give you the details on the two categories of causing the cells to malfunction, and then also how to fix the cell malfunction and prevent it from happening in the future. So to make it easy, the one disease is repackaged based on the cellular malfunctions, but there's only two causes. And the two causes of the cells to malfunction are chemical or toxic compounding insufficiencies and chemical compounding toxicities. So the insufficiencies we're going to get into, those are 12 categories, and there's also 12 categories of the toxicities, and we're going to get into each category and how that portrays to making the cells malfunction. To make it simple, everyone knows that the foundation or the nuts and bolts, the bricks and mortar, the scaffolding or the human composition of the human body, the human biological machine is cells. And I'm going to make it simple. Heart cells make the heart, liver cells make the liver, kidney cells make the kidney, bone cells make the bone, brain cells make the brain, even blood cells make the blood. The blood plasma, which is liquid, are made up of cells. When the cells malfunction in that area, then the cellular screams are headache, bloating, dizziness, inflammation, pain, and the correlating symptom is knocked out in medical science by the pharmaceutical, which is synthesized in the laboratories to knock out the pain or knock out the symptom of the cellular scream. The antiinflammatories, the antibiotics, the anti cholinergics, the antidepressants. And the word anti is telling you, I'm going to go against your own self-healing doctor. So the self-healing system that's built inside of every one of us, like a broken bone or a cut in the finger, is suppressed or antagonized or eliminated by the antis. So the antibiotics, bio meaning life, so they're going against life. So you go to probiotics, not antibiotics. Anti-cholinergics, anti-inflammatories, anti-diuretics, antidepressants, anti-psychotics, anti-inflammatories, and so forth, and even the meds from even hypertension. You have calcium channel blockers, beta blockers. So they're blocking or inhibiting or antagonizing the own self-healing doctor that's built inside of us. So as we know, we have to go with it, with the human body, with an herb or a botanical or something that is natural, that is a building block or a makeup of the cells. So to make it real simple, that the cells ingest things that are foreign or antagonizing to them, the cells are going to attack the foreign antigen coming through the mouth or the blood or the skin or the nose. So therefore, you have side effects from that instead of direct effects. So I would say they're direct effects from the wrong chemistry. They're going to say they're side effects. There's no such thing as side effects. They have to tell the MD something in med school training, otherwise they'd question their own profession. So we're going to cover a lot of ground today, and there's a lot of correlations or what I call common denominators between the cells and the actual diseases themselves. First of all, the common denominators between every disease known to man, including 40,000 of them that they say, would be a dehydration factor. The cells, all of them, all 100 trillion of them, need water or hydration to be healthy. All 100 trillion cells need oxygen to keep healthy. All 100 trillion cells need some type of amino acids, and there's up to 22 of them, for building blocks for the DNA, building blocks for the mitochondria, the centrioles, or the organelles. Now, this is very interesting. These cells inside have structures called organelles. We have organs as a human body. So the macro scale of a human being larger is a direct correlation to the micro scale of a cell. So the micro scale of a cell, they have the cytoskeleton, which is a skeletal structure. Now, it's not as hard. It doesn't have a hard matrix like we do with calcium. So our bones and our skeletal system are a lot harder, but we do have a cytoskeletal system inside the cell, and that expands the cell to keep it from collapsing. Every cell of the body, again, hydrates. Every cell needs oxygen. Every cell communicates, like we talk in languages of Spanish and German and Russian and English, and also factors of Swedish and Scandinavian and so forth. The cells talk in peptide language, neurotransmitter language, hormonal language, and photon language and phonon language. So the languages are very similar, except that they're different in factors of sound. Another factor that's similar to a cell versus us is the cells communicate based on language telling the cells what to do. So the cells will actually fire a message through the blood and the nervous system to another cell, whether it's distant or whether it's local, to tell that cell to speed up, slow down, make a hormone, make a neurotransmitter, make a peptide. So it's communicating constantly, and that's how we know how to move. That's how we know when we play basketball, how do we move to twist around and grab that ball and shoot it through the hoop. It's autonomic. We're not even thinking about it when we're doing it. Another factor of the cell versus the human is we conceive daughters and sons, and the cells conceive daughter cells. So the daughter cells that are conception from the cell when it's given a birth to another cell before it dies is very analogous of our sons and daughters also. It's a generation or genealogy, and that generation or genealogy actually lines up with the cell half-life. So every cell of our body, there's 243 different types, has a half-life of 3 days, 5 days, sometimes 3 months, 5 months, 6 months before they die. So you get a whole new liver every 4 months. They die and replace themselves. The liver cells called Kupffner cells or hepatocytes. You have a whole new skin layer every 21 days. It sheds like a snake, and you get a whole new layer. And hopefully it's clean and pink and it's not lacerated. You get a whole new heart every 5 to 6 months. You get a whole new taste buds rotation every 90 days. You get a whole new turnover every 30 days of your red blood cells. So your skeletal system takes a little bit longer to die and replace. That takes up to 7 years. So within 7 years, you get a whole new body. Now, I said a new body. I didn't say a better one. So the new body that you get every 7 to 10 years is either worse than before or better than before, depending on what you're eating and drinking and injecting and breathing and bathing and putting in your skin. So whatever the blood is picking up as far as ingredients or building blocks to the cells, they're either nourishing the cell and keeping it healthy and live and regenerating, or the cell is bathing in toxins and GMOs and sugar and white flour and preservatives. And we're going to get into that today as far as what really is causing these cells to degenerate or malfunction. Another basis of the cell is they're analogous to movement also. The cells actually do move, and they go from tissue to tissue, and they use the bloodstream and the nervous system to move. So we move through our walking or swimming or jogging, treadmill, whatever it is. So we do movement, we do exercise, and the cells actually exercise. And it's interesting, when we exercise, we're actually exercising the cells, especially the lymphatic cells. So there's a lot of correlation between us as a human macro scale versus a tiny human cell, which is in micro scale. The factors of the cells malfunctioning, again, would be the two categories of compounding toxicities. There's 12 of them, and we're going to get into that today. And then there's 12 insufficiencies categories. When you combine those two and you get to the root of the compounding toxicity removal, and then you fix the insufficiencies, whether it be insufficient water hydration, whether it be insufficient oxygen, whether it be insufficient nutrition, which comes in 10 different categories. You could be insufficiency as far as pH, alkalization, or acidosis. You could have insufficient immunity, cellular immunity. You could have insufficient blood flow or circulation, that's your lymphatics and blood. You could have insufficient hydration as far as what type of water that you're drinking and what's entering into the cell. You can have insufficient factors of heavy metals, factors of what you'd use chelation for would be mercury, lead, cadmium, aluminum, and then also elimination of the emotional toxins that a lot of people they neglect, because that's neglected in med school. So a lot of the teachings today you're going to find out should be taught in every university, but is not, because if the physicians and the nurses ever got wind that there's only two causes of disease, the 12 categories of compounding toxicities and compounding insufficiencies to the cells, and they were ever taught how to detoxify or clean up the toxicities and fix the insufficiencies, well, guess what? They'd be curing the disease, and they can't have that. So big pharma and drug companies make sure the professors are trained not to teach the physicians the truth. So we're going to be truthful today, and sometimes it hurts to listen to truth. Truer than true is very offensive, and I'm sorry to offend people by hearing truth, but you got to know this, because you're not going to hear this from JAMA, New England Journal of Medicine. The peer reviews are not going to tell you that the drug companies are hiding information from the students. And these are young kids at 20 years old that want to be an MD. And for the MDs out there, I feel for you, because in the beginning, you had that heart to want to be a healer. You wanted to go to med school and become a doctor and help people get well. And there's some point in your career in academia where you start realizing you're molded as a symptomologist, not a doctor. So you're molded as an employee for the drug game of drugging and cutting and burning and poisoning symptoms. So you're molded as a symptomologist. You're unfortunately not molded as a true physician. And as you know, you now don't even have the option, or you don't have the range of choice that you should have as a physician for the drugs to use, for the procedures to use. You're told what to do, and that is not really fair. And I feel for you because your hands are tied by bureaucratic tape. And if your hands were not tied by bureaucratic tape and you were allowed to use what is better for the patient, the system would be a lot better off. But as you know, with being forced into procedures and being forced into surgeries and being forced into treatments that you know don't work, therefore the patients get injured, and a lot of times their life is at stake. So a lot of the iatrogenic diseases, iatrogenic meaning doctor caused, or iatrogenic deaths, are caused by the wrong meds or too much of the medication, the wrong procedures used, the wrong surgical procedure, two or three or four of the medications that are antagonizing each other and stopping the heart or shutting down the kidneys or the liver. So the side effects are what I call direct effects, are leading to either damage to the patient or even death or even early death. So let's try to prevent that from happening. And I hope that, or wish that I could have all MDs listening to this show, because what I'm going to show in the show, as far as the listeners, is what you can do in the natural realm, the alternative realm, to get to the root of the disease rather than drugging, cutting, and burning and poisoning symptoms of the disease. Big difference between the symptom of a cellular scream versus the cellular scream, which is the disease. So I'm going to give out my website if anybody wants to contact me or have questions later on. It's www.phcelltalks, that's CELLTOX.com. And my phone number is 888-863-1733. So we're going to get into the 12 categories of insufficiencies and toxicities. And then you'll start learning the big picture that it's not just one element that causes the cells to malfunction. I wish it was that easy, then we could eliminate that one element. But unfortunately, you're going to learn today there's a synergistic attack on the cells that are thousands and thousands of different chemicals and exposures to the cell membrane, to the DNA, to the mitochondria, to shut down ATP. There's your fatigue. So the number one category of toxicity would be the vaccines. And the reason why we talked about this 2 weeks ago, the vaccinations are bypassing the nose and the mouth, and they're poking the skin. And when you inject foreign antigens, such as a small amount of mercury, even a small amount of aluminum, and lead, and polysorbate 60, and small elements of MSG, and foreign antigens that increase antibody titers, which has nothing to do with immunity, by the way, then you have your foreign DNA coming from sick animal attenuations. So you have serial passage that they use for sick monkey tissue, horse blood for diphtheria, calf serum. They're using human diploid tissues, which is embryonic tissue. And these tissues are not healthy. They're sick. So when they attenuate half human and half animal, you're getting what's called a hybridization. Or a foreign antigen or foreign DNA fragment that's injected right to the bloodstream. Now, the difference is the blood, the method of exposure through the mouth and the nose is you could vomit or you could have regurgitate or even have diarrhea and flush it. But with the blood, it cannot regurgitate, it cannot vomit, it doesn't have any elimination routes like diarrhea. So therefore, the blood has to dump it internally. And when it has to dump heavy metals, the heavy metals, they flow to the bottom of the bloodstream, and the blood capillaries and the veins and the microcapillaries, they start getting congested and they start getting thick due to the heavy metals. Therefore, their circulation is affected where the blood flow is not good in the brain, in the outer extremities, the feet, the hands. So now you're getting the stroke risks, the microvascular strokes, and that's what Dr. Molden was talking about. And therefore, with the heavy metals, they combine to the other debris in the blood, and they cause a coagulation. When your blood coagulates, there's a risk of stroke. There's a risk of blood flow in the areas of even blocking the heart or blocking the brain. And we're going to get into this later on. that a blockage of a tube in the brain versus a blockage tube in the heart is the same disease. Therefore, you're going to hear heart attack in one blockage, and then another blockage would be a stroke. So a stroke in the brain is no different than a blockage in the heart. Same stuff doing it, atherosclerotic plaque, calcium, iron, solidifying elements, including the coagulation we talked about with heavy metals. No difference between location of the brain blockage, location of the heart. One's called heart attack, the other one's called stroke. So we're going to get into this, and even children can understand that, this is, it's called tubes in trouble. And the tubular structures of the body are all over. There's 80,000 miles of blood tubing between veins, capillaries, microcapillaries, and they twist and turn and they reroute themselves. And just in your hands alone, there's probably 2,000 miles of blood vessels. And the feet and the ankles and the toes and the knees, the outer extremities have tiny capillaries that are so tiny, they let one blood cell in like a revolving door in a hotel. When the blood can't get through, it's called an anoxia, and lack of blood flow or lack of oxygen, and then it's hypoxia, and then eventually you have no oxygen whatsoever flowing to the tissues, and therefore the purplish color called cyanosis sets in, and eventually gangrenous conditions like diabetic neuropathy set in to the point where they have to chop your foot off is their solution. So blood flow is extremely important, and later on in other episodes, I'm going to show you how to increase the blood flow mechanically or doing physical exercise, and then how to eliminate these toxic adjuvants of these vaccinations from the tissues and blood. A little bit harder to do, but it's definitely feasible. It's very difficult to do it, and we're going to get into the chelation and get into some of the detox measures, which are not even taught in med school. Now, think about an audience and MDs, if there is any. There's two categories that if you knew about would cater to the root of all disease. And the drug companies make sure the professors don't teach you. Detoxification, and you're probably looking at me through the screen saying, what? Detoxification, that has nothing to do with illness. Or chelation, or even nutrition, you're told that that has nothing to do with illness. That has everything to do with illness. It's the opposite. Oncologists are taught that sugar doesn't do anything with tumors, and yet if you knew the term sugar, like glycolysis or sugar fermentation feeds tumors, you wouldn't be that ignorant. So by feeding tumors Cokes and Dr. Peppers and burgers and pork chops, like you've been taught in med school, you can do anything you want to, feed them any calories you want, you're feeding the tumors. So they're drugging, cutting, and burning, poisoning the tumor formations, but then feeding them back again. Drugging, cutting, burning, poisoning tumors, and feeding them back again. It's a good business model, but it's horrible for the patient. The next category of a toxic sludge that enters into the blood and causes cells to malfunction would be the pharmaceutical residues, the binders, the fillers, the excipients that they use to tablate or to make the drugs and manufacture the tablets, extremely toxic. In fact, they tell you that not only are they extremely toxic, but they're extremely acidic. Everybody knows that pH acidity is a major factor in illness, especially allowing tumors to grow and infection microbes to grow as an infection. So the HCl that's located after the name of the drug tells you it's hydrochloric acid, and that's a 2.0 pH. So 7.4 is where you want to be, and you're looking at 2.4 or down to even 2.0 as a acidosis for a drug. And the acidosis for the drug can cause a burning a hole through your shoe. Everyone knows that chemotherapy is about 2.2 pH, which will burn a hole through your shoe. Now, they wear rubber shoes when they deliver it. They have rubber face masks. They have rubber mop gear. They wear lead aprons, and they run behind the lead wall to protect themselves before they hit the switch on you. Your poor patient is in a nightgown from the hospital, and the poor patient's getting pure radiation, which is cancer-causing, by the way, right to their bloodstream. And yet the nurses and the oncologists and the radiologists are protected by the full mop gear. So that just shows you something right there, their ignorance of not protecting the patient, but to protecting themselves. Number three, again, pharmaceutical model, would be the radiation exposure, which is not only caused by diagnostics that they use, such as x-rays, CTs, your PET scanning. The PET scans, the positive emissions tomography testing, they use sugar vectors in order to locate the tumors. Now, they tell you that sugar has nothing to do with growing tumors. Well, then why are they using sugar as a vector to find out where the tumors are? So the common sense tells you that they're lying, because the tumors will suck in the sugar, and where the sugar is sucked in from the PET scan is where your location of the tumor is. That's common sense. So obviously sugar is a major fuel for tumors to grow. Now, they're using sugar as a vector, and they're using that to suck in the tumors, and they can find out where the tumors are at and how severe they are. But they're feeding the tumors in their actual diagnostics. There's other diagnostics that are much safer. They're non-invasive. They don't have to poke you, don't have to stab you. We're going to get into that in the future, in future episodes, as far as pathetic pathology versus real pathology. So the radiation of x-rays, of CTs, even the contrast dyes, the medial contrast dyes that they use to get images, are extremely toxic. They're on the level of plutonium and uranium. You don't stick that in a bloodstream of a human. You're risking leukemia, and you're risking major, major illness by those radioisotopes that they're using for that diagnosis. So between the radiation exposure, between the pharmaceutical residues, and the vaccine adjuvants, the top three poisons that are so toxic to the human they can kill you or they can maim you is used by the very system that we have factors of interest and factors of safety measures, we think, to keep us healed and to keep us from being maimed. Yet the top three diagnostics and the vaccines and the pharmaceuticals that they use are the very top three that cause illness. So in med school training, MDs, you're never going to see a professor admit the toxic residues of pharmaceuticals, the toxic residues of vaccine adjuvants, and the half-breeds of the monkeys and the horses and the diphtheria and the foreign antigens coming from bacteria and virus from sick animals. Attenuation process and serial passages have anything to do with illness. You're never going to hear about that, but that is true. Look into your research. So what's the solution? You would use a treatment that is compatible to the cell. That means when you ingest something, whether it be injection, whether it be orally, whether it be on the skin, whether it be sublingual, or whether it be suppository, that compound better have the building blocks for the cells. That means when you take a heart med and you swallow it, a cardiac med, the heart looks at the drug and says, hey, drug, I know you're here to help me, but I don't know how you can, because I need oxygen molecule. Drug, where's your oxygen? Hey, drug, I need water to as a major factor of health to my heart cells. Hey, drug, I need amino acids, which are the building blocks of my DNA and my Golgi complex and my molecular machines that are inside my cell. Hey, drug, I know you're here to help me, but I need carbohydrates. Where's your carbohydrate molecule, drug? Hey, drug, where's your essential fatty acids, the good oils, the good fats that I need for my heart? Hey, drug, where's my 16 vitamins? Hey, drug, where's my 72 minerals that I need for electrolytes? And enzymes, live enzymes, to activate the molecule structures and activate the proteins. Where is my phytonutrients from plant? Where is my essential fatty acids or my chlorophyll from plant? And the drug says, well, I'm sorry, I have nothing for you. But the drug is synthesized in the Frankenstein laboratory to synthesize and wipe out the symptom and poison the cell even more than what it is. So the illusion of the David Copperfield medicine is the patient feels better while getting sicker. So the drug poisons the heart cell even more and gets the heart cell sicker and sicker and sicker. But the illusion is the angina pain went away, the murmurs, the arrhythmias, the palpitations, they go away for a short period of time until the drug wears off. And the patient thinks they're getting well. That's the illusion. So by the patient thinking they're feeling better or getting well, they're getting sicker. And then 8 months later, that goes by. Pretty soon they have a heart attack or a stroke. And that heart attack that they get was caused by the cardiologist giving them heart medications. They're not telling them what the root is. They're not telling them how to adjust their diets. They're not telling them how to do exercise programs to open up the chambers of the heart and the atrium. They're not told the building blocks of the heart, such as hawthornberry, CoQ10, your electrolytes, your potassium, your calcium, magnesium, which pump the heart. So there's nothing and no education involved in med school training that trains an MD into what the root is of the disease. They're trained that the root is genes, germs, and worms. We call it the genes, germs, and worms theory. It's not in the genes, it's not in the germs, it's not in the worms, and it's not genetic. So they think it's genetic or they think it's viral induced, wrong and wrong. It's carcinogens, it's toxins that the patient's been exposed to for decades that have come in and compounded and actually suffocated the liver. They suffocated the kidney tissue, they suffocated the lymphatics, and the sewage systems couldn't keep up with the filtering and elimination and cleaning the blood from these carcinogens. These toxins and carcinogens got in the bloodstream, and the blood and the body says, hey, we can't have these poisons and heavy metals and carcinogens and paint fumes and epoxy resins, whatever it is, in the blood. I'm dumping them. I'm dumping them in the toe, which the uric acid crystals enter into the toe, and it's like walking them with broken glass. That is called gout. But the same toxins and the same acids and the same carcinogens in another individual, if they get dumped from the bloodstream into the knees as a storage bin, this can be called osteoarthritis. Same disease. Gout, osteoarthritis are the same pathways. Same toxins, but the location is different. Still a cell malfunction in the toe, the muscles and the nerves, and a cell malfunction in the knees, in the patella. So to me, it's the same disease. The only difference is location and the symptoms are a little bit different. If the poisons and acids and carcinogens end up in the elbows, it's called arthritis. If the same poisons and acids and carcinogens end up in the fingers, it's rheumatoid arthritis. The same poisons and acids and carcinogens and toxins enter into the wrists, it's carpal tunnel syndrome. So as you can see, they repackage the same disease like it is new, based on location and based on what cells are malfunctioning, and a lot of times the symptoms are different, but they're still the same disease process. Now, why do they do it? M-O-N-E-Y. The more labels they make up as new disease, the more money they can make based on new research, new pharmaceutical compounds that they can make for that new label, new chemo agents, new radiation drips, new pacemakers, new delivery systems, new surgical knives, so they can make a whole new business around the new model. That's why they do it. Big money, M-O-N-E-Y. So anybody that's out there, you can go ahead and challenge me if you don't believe that is right, that there's one disease condition from head to toe systemically, but where the poisons and the acids and carcinogens are lodged in or stored in, they suffocate the cells in that area. When the cellular suffocation happens, the cells scream, headache, bloating, inflammation, pain, dizziness, depending on what cells are malfunctioning. Very simple. So the cellular screams are not the disease. They're the symptoms of the disease, not the disease. Big difference. Number three. Actually, number four. Number one would be the vaccine adjuvants and the foreign DNA that they're using with the sick animal attenuation. Number two, pharmaceutical residues. Number three, the radiation exposure due to the diagnostic procedures and also due to the treatments. And yet, and as you know, chemo causes cancer. How can you treat cancer that causes cancer? It's carcinogenic. Radiation causes cancer. They tell you to stay away from detonations and A-bombs 100 miles away so you don't get cancer, and they're sticking that right in your bloodstream. Now, does that make sense? Yeah, it makes sense to them because they don't care about the patient, obviously. So the patient suffers with more cancer because it's cancer-causing, and Big Pharma makes more money based on the side effects or the collateral damage that occurs from the treatments. So most people are dying of the chemo and radiation. They're not dying of cancer. They're dying of the treatments. But the illusion is their hair falls out, they vomit, they look like an Auschwitz camp victim by the time they get done with them. But the reality is they died of the chemo. They didn't die of cancer. They died of the treatments. Number four would be the environmental contaminants that we breathe and take in through our skin. That's your chemtrails. I don't know if anybody knows about the chemtrails, but a lot of people deny that the government is spraying the air, and you'll see it in white streaks. And the contrails, condensation, which is water vapor, will dissipate within 2 or 3 minutes. Well, these chemtrails, chemical trails, they linger in the sky in white streaks. It looks like tic-tac-toe. They spray back and forth, and they expand in the air, and they expand into clouds, and eventually you have to breathe them. Now, when you breathe the clouds, you know, it don't kill you, but it will cause a runny nose, eyes will burn, your throat will be burning, fatigue. You can't concentrate because all the aluminum entering into the brain, causing brain fog. So it's enough to enter into the doctors or hospitals not knowing what you have. So they run all the diagnostics of blood, urine, saliva, x-rays, CT scans, multi-million dollar business, and they don't find anything because they're not biological warfare experts. So they don't know nothing about chemtrails, the MDs, and so they're drugging the symptoms of the chemical warfare. Big business, because now you got a repeat customer, and the repeat customer is based on never getting to the root and just knocking out the symptom and staying sick. So then the severity of the disease gets worse and worse and worse, and they just up the ante by knocking out the symptom that gets worse by the drugs and the pharmaceuticals and the surgeries and so forth. So they do nothing to get to the root, and they do nothing to find out what you have wrong with you, because they don't have any diagnosis that pick up biological warfare chemical residue. So they're never going to find it in you. And so the ones that have been out there that have been poisoned by these chemical trails that have been through the medical money ground, you'll know what I'm talking about. You'll be going from one gist to the next, a neurologist, an endocrinologist, a cardiologist, a digestive enzyme specialist, a pulmonary doc for the lungs, and a cranial doc for the brain, and they're going to find nothing wrong with you because they're not looking for chemical warfare. They're not looking for toxicity, and they have no answers when it comes to nutritional deficiencies because they're not taught diet. They're not taught nutrition. So therefore, their training is kept in the dark. And they don't have no answers when it comes to finding out what's really causing your cells to malfunction. Number five of the 12 categories of the insufficiency or the toxicities would be food contaminants. And that's your GMOs, your Roundup, your BT toxins from corn, and that's all Monsanto. So Monsanto is poisoning our food to the point where everything you eat and everything you drink even is GMO. 80% of our food is genetically modified by Monsanto, so you have to go to organic sources. You have to, whether it be organic farmers, whether it be organic markets. You cannot even eat conventional food anymore. If you eat conventionally, you're going to have conventional food, 150%, it's for sure. But if you're worried about the organic not being organic and not buying it, well, then that means that you're not getting any organics. So therefore, you're getting 150% conventional, which is GMO. So that includes your preservatives, your additives, your emulsifiers, your stabilizers, your dyes, all the chemicals that you cannot pronounce on the package, you cannot digest. So if you can't pronounce it on the label, you cannot digest it. Number six will be your beverage contaminants, and that'll be your sugar, your sodium, your BHT, your sodas. The sodas, again, are 2.5 pH. We want to be 7.4 pH to have proper pH to the blood. So anything acidic like that, the body has to rob Peter to pay Paul and rob calcium and magnesium out of the bone to buffer the blood and to push out the acids in the joints, which causes rheumatoid arthritis, arthritic conditions, bursitis, gout, like we mentioned. Alcohol, another acid residue, And not only does it poison the liver, but it wipes out your immune system, and the alcohol residues can also cause gout. Number seven would be your toxic waters, and this is everywhere. You got fluorine, chloride, chlorine, you have bromide, you have arsenic, you have all these chemical preservatives in the water that you're even showering in or bathing in, and these poisons end up in our bloodstream. When you take a 10-minute shower without a shower filter, you might as well drink 6 glasses of tap water during that time. So that poison from the water enters in the blood, and it's another poisoning of the cells. So the cells have been poisoned by the vaccine adjuvants, by the foreign DNA that enters into the DNA, the pharmaceutical residues, and the x-rays, and also the pathology that come from that, the radiation exposure of CTs and contrast dyes on top of that. Then you got your environmental contaminants, your PCBs, your dioxin, your polyurethane, your plastics, your chemtrails. So I could be here all afternoon showing you the chemicals that you eat and drink and breathe and bathe in, put on your skin, rubbing your scalp. Women with their makeup, skin creams from Walgreens and Eckerd's and CVS that have poisons on the back of the containers if you look at them. And now if you can't eat them, if the FDA does not have permission for you to eat these chemicals, then why would they allow you to put them in your skin? The entry through the skin, through the dermis, is just as fast as swallowing. So you're being poisoned still. It doesn't matter. Now, other than warnings like your toothpaste, where you can flip on the back your Trident or your Crest, and it'll say, if you swallow more than a toothpaste full, seek a control poison center immediately. Now, if that's saying that on your toothpaste, what do you think it's doing to you if you put it on in skin creams? So the poisons are warning us in your toothpaste, but not in your hairsprays and not in your cosmetics and not in your skin creams. Then you have the agrobusiness, which is the neurotoxic pesticides, insecticides, herbicides, and all the other genocides. So they leave the poison in the food, don't wash it. In fact, Monsanto even grows the GMOs of the Roundup and the phosphates and also the BT toxin of corn. They actually grow it into the actual produce, so you can't wash it off. So if there's anybody that says, oh, you must be a conspiracy nut, then you must be a coincidental nut, because why would they not wash it off? If they weren't trying to cause illness or kill you slowly, then why are they allowing these poisons on the food and not washing them? Why are they allowing the poisons in our agriculture and your vegetables and fruits and spray it in the fruit and give it to the unsuspected public? Why wouldn't they clean the water with ozone? Very simple to do. Instead, they leave the bromide, the arsenic, the chlorine, the fluoride in the waters, and they let you drink it. So that shows me right there, there's no conspiracy. It's a coincidental theory to most people. Okay, it's just a coincidence that they poison the food, poison the water, poison the air, poison the soil, and they don't clean it for the unsuspected public, to prove my point. Then you have your hygiene products. We talked about this, your shampoos, your conditioners, your makeup with women, skin creams, your deodorants, and they actually show you the poisons on the back of the containers. Again, if you can't pronounce the chemicals, you can't digest them. Industrial pollutants is another category. That's number 10. That's your solvents, your turpentine, your cigarette smoke, and all the other industry contaminants that are dumped in our waters. They're either dumped in our ocean, they're dumped in our streams, they're dumped in our rivers, and eventually you get them through a fish and secondhand through other animals that we kill and slay. And again, as long as the food is range fed or it's not, doesn't have the growth hormones and steroids and antibiotics in the meat, then it's a lot safer than just going and getting conventional meat that you know is loaded up with growth hormones and steroids and antibiotics. Number 11 would be the professions. And we get a lot of these people that are professions in beauty shops, your mechanics, your painters, your toxic waste power plant employees. And they don't realize that every day they go to work for 8 hours, they don't put masks on and they don't use rubber gloves. So they're got these chemicals coming in through the skin or through their nose, through breathing, 8 hours a day, and they wonder why they're sick. So again, another exposure that really is not looked at. And then last but not least, you have your toxic emotions and stress, anger, bitterness, resentment, hatred, unforgiveness. When you harbor that long enough, we call it emotional constipation. When you hang on to that, then the emotions cause illness, such as ulcers and cancer tumors. So the physical illness of bleeding ulcer or a tumor can be formed by the invisible emotional toxin. So there you have, we've got 12 categories of toxic substances that will actually contaminate the cells, whether it's liver cell, kidney cell, blood cell, brain cell. That's your weak link in the chain of organs, your path of least resistance. And then coupled with the biofilm that wraps around the membrane and coats it would be your insufficiencies. So there's 12 categories of insufficiencies. So these are absolutely needed for the building blocks to make the cell healthy and to maintain the health of the cell. Number one would be common denominators of oxygen. So every cell needs oxygen at a certain level. The PaO2 they use in the hospitals, the pulse oximeters are called, usually run 96, 97, 98. You want to be 99 on the pulse oximeter. And pure oxygen and ozone, and there's some, even you can drink liquid oxygen to get the oxygen, and even deeper breathing and also even exercise, because exercise forces oxygen into your cardiovascular system. Number two would be your water, the clean water, not the tap water. So the clean H2O, that dehydration is led to, and most people, they wait until their lips are cracked or they're thirsty to drink their water, or they drink syrupy this and neon green bubbly that. They're drinking sodas, they're drinking carbonated beverages, which are acidic. They're not drinking water, so they're dehydrated. Or they're drinking coffee or alcohol, which is a dehydrant, so they're losing water. So lack of water, lack of oxygen, major factors of illness at the cell level. And if the cell membrane is coated, because you see this a lot, you're going to get what's called malabsorption, where the nutrition is trying to get in through the cell membrane, and it's coated with aluminum and mercury and pesticides, insecticides, and fluorocarbons and fossil fuels and on. So when the cell membrane gets a biofilm wrapped around it, it prevents the nutrition building blocks to get inside. So then you get expensive urine at best. So with the malabsorption coupled with the toxicities wrapped around the cell and inside the cell, there you have it. You have the cellular engine degeneration. Number three would be nutrient depletion. Now, there's 10 categories of nutrition which you have to look at. Now, we use scanning devices to find out what your proteins are at, where's your essential fatty acids, where's your carbohydrate levels, where's your vitamin levels, where's your mineral levels, where's your enzyme levels, where's your phytonutrient levels. And once you find the 10 categories of nutrients and what the imbalances are, and you fix those, now you have all the building blocks to the cell at the cell membrane site that they can pull from. So between the water, the oxygen, and the 10 categories of nutritional building blocks of the amino acids, the vitamins, the minerals, the carbohydrates, essential fatty acids, phytonutrients, chlorophyll, and enzymes, and your good oils and good fats, that would be the building block to the cells. Another one would be insufficiency or deficiency of the pH. So insufficient pH, which is we talked about acid pH versus alkaline pH, and I wrote a book on this called The Battle of Health is Over pH. And we just got, 2,000 or 3,000 of that actually came in of the What in the Cell is Going On and the Battle of Health is Over pH. And when you purchase both of those CDs, and they're very informative, you get the book for free. And the book is different information from the CD. So number five will be immunity, cellular immunity. And the cells have immunity just like the blood has immunity. One's called humoral immunity, which is the fluids. And one's called cytotoxic T cell immunity, which is cell membrane. And these have to be reciprocal for the immune system to work properly. And again, that's method of exposure. You cannot inject toxic adjuvants and monkey viruses and horse blood and calf serum directly into the bloodstream and expect these two pillars of immunity to work together reciprocally. So when you dominate the humoral phase, you're going to get antibody titer increase, which has nothing to do with immunity, and you're going to shut down cytotoxic T cells. So now your cells are just wide open for viruses and bacteria and fungus to enter right inside, along with the monkey viruses and horse blood and calf serum. So now you're creating a disorder to the immune system by the vaccines, not an orderly immune system from the vaccines. Number six would be hormones by the cells. The cells actually produce hormones such as estrogen, estrone, testosterone, your serotonin, your norepinephrine, your acetylcholine. And these production of hormones are caused by the cells' building blocks that make these hormones and neurotransmitters based on the amino acids and the proteins, the vitamins and minerals that you're taking in. Now, if the nutrients can't get inside the cell, or the cell is coated with toxic residue, that would inhibit the neurotransmitter production or the hormones or the neurotransmitters, and therefore your cell-to-cell communication is going to be shut down. Another big, huge factor is circulation, and that's blood circulation and lymphatic circulation, both of those. And as we discussed, the blood circulation can be 70,000 miles of blood flow that can be inhibited by thick blood, by blood coagulation from heavy metals, which is injected in the blood by vaccines, or even getting mercury and lead coming from the teeth from your dentist, or heavy metals coming from industry, such as your chemtrails. So when the metals cause a coagulation or thick blood, your blood has a hard time circulating, and your blood's going to be having a hard time getting to the fingers and the feet. Therefore, there's your cold hands and cold feet. And we see a lot of that, very common, of cold hands and feet. It's called cyanosis. Another factor is APT production. For those of you who don't know ATP, it's adenosine triphosphate. And you have a powerhouse inside every cell. It's called the mitochondria. And the mitochondria, again, needs building blocks from phosphorus, oxygen, natural glucose molecules, and other nutrients to kickstart the Krebs cycle of ATP production. And it's called adenosine triphosphate is your energy source. When your energy source is cut in half or lower, that's your fatigue or your lethargy. And so the fatigue is coming from, number one, the ATP production not being there. Number two, the cellular toxicity wrapped around the cell. Number three, the cells not receiving the correct building blocks to produce healthy cells. And then also we look at adrenal glands, we look at a thyroid too. So if your adrenals are sluggish or your thyroid is sluggish, then therefore you're going to have fatigue also coupled with that. Another factor of insufficiencies would be the anti-infection factors of killing off the critters, killing off the bacteria, the viruses, and the fungus. A lot of people have fungal issues, and sugar feeds them. And a lot of people have parasites, and they think that's third world country problems. And so the parasites are coming from meat and sushi and other sources. And if you're not getting any antiparasitical compounds in you, or antiviral or antifungal, you're going to have an infection that's going to set in and make that long-term to the point where you're going to have to do something to get the infection components. Number six, detoxification and chelation of metals. Again, the cells have an ability to detox themselves, but if they're all kicked up and coated and there's no building blocks to move the cell toxicity from the inside to the outside, you're going to have problems with self-auto-intoxication. So the cells auto-intoxicate themselves by not having the elimination routes capable of eliminating the heavy metals and toxins. So we use chelation and we use other methods to detox the cell to help them or remove them. And also affecting cell-to-cell communication. Everyone knows that the cells communicate, so information transfer. Now, we thought it was energy at first, but the energy is sporadic. And it's all over the place. It's random. Whereas information transfer is the answer, and I'm going to be doing a show on that later on. on showing how the cells communicate through information transfer. Very complicated subject, so we don't have time to get into that. But I want to thank you for watching the show. And we expect you to be tuning in next week, next Monday at 2 o'clock on Progressive Radio Network.
And we do want to thank Progressive Radio Network for just allowing us our very important teachings to be taught, PRN.FM. For any questions, to purchase Gary's teachings, or to speak with him about your specific health issues, please call us toll-free at 800-939-8227. To access today's and all of our previous shows, visit the top of the front of our page, vacinfo.org, our website, V as in Victor, acinfo.org, or you can call in 701-801-8536 to listen in. Thank you for listening, and y'all bless.